We partake of his power actively in our lives. Not that we become divine, we're not, we're human. But his divine power functions in us through his promises. You believe what he says and God acts upon it. Now we're in this right context, obviously. Believe in Jesus.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, give us an idea how we should listen to today's broadcast in order to get the most from it.
Well, Dave, today is such an important passage. I would say, first of all, our hearts need to be right before the Lord. If we have any sin, we just need to confess, and then we need to receive the word implanted. We need to receive his word, allow his word to work in our hearts. And today, oh boy, this is a wonderful passage. We're going to see that in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells, and that in him we are complete. And this is so important to understand and thoroughly remember so that we don't get taken captive by the false teachers. Okay, well, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 9 to 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And we also saw this is according to the elementary principles of the world. This tells us, hey, this is what their weapons look like. This is how I'm going to get attacked. It's going to be according to man's tradition, wisdom, hollow. It's going to be according to the elementary principles of the world. It's the elementary principles of the world. It's literally the ABCs, the basic building blocks of how the world functions. And how does the world function? It functions by love of self, self-love. What is best for me? My will. I did it my way. But this is packaged. You get your way, but the guilt is gone because it's packaged religiously. But guess what? You become a captive. You get your way. You get to do it your way. They try to defraud you, to deceive you, to enslave you in the context of the elementary principles. They focus on your needs. I remember in seminary how evil this was. You need to preach to their felt needs. No, you don't. You preach what God says because he knows what they need. You proclaim the word of God. You don't preach to what their felt needs are. That's what evil men and imposters do. And people who have that, then guess what? They're coming to get their felt needs met every Sunday. And you get, it's got to change. The show's got to go on. It's got to change. It's got to get better and better. These bad guys take you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. We see this. And notice what he says here, rather than according to Christ. You see, he says it that way in contrast, not to say that Christ, according to him, is a bad way. It's the right way. But they come religiously. They should be coming to you in accordance with Christ. But they're doing it this way instead. They should be proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be pointing you to him in whom are all the treasures of wisdom. They should be pointing you to trust in Jesus, to believe his word in relationship to your marriage, in relationship to your work, in relationship to the difficulties, in relationship to your sickness. Believe what Jesus says, trust in him. But they don't do that. You see, Paul has already declared that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that our walk began by faith, and we should continue to walk that way. Therefore, as you've received him, so walk that way. But they substitute and augment the wisdom of God with the wisdom of men from the heart of man rather than according to Christ. Nothing's changed. This was written thousands of years ago. Nothing has changed. We have Sunday after Sunday false teachers and deceived brethren giving their flocks spiritual pep talks. These pep talks are laced with video clips and clever and entertaining stories, illustrations with a few verses in context or out of context to make you feel as though you're getting the Bible. And usually, as I mentioned before, they address your felt need, what you feel you need, your current problems, rather than pointing us to Christ, that it might reveal sin if necessary, that it might build us up, we might become more like Jesus rather than proclaiming him, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we may be presented complete in Christ. But what throws us off is they come in very persuasive and Christian-sounding arguments. Very persuasive. They have much truth, yet at their core they deny or lessen the absolute sufficiency of Christ by substituting man's wisdom. And they got good reasons to. You listen to these people, they say, why do you do church that way? Well, they got a whole good reason to tell you, but it's not biblical. So then, we're to obey this command. See to it that no one takes you captive. Obey the command. It's for your good, or you're going to get taken away. You got to watch out. It's out there. I mentioned this illustration before. You're on the road and there's a big sign that says, danger, bridge out ahead. You know, if I don't pay attention to the warning, I'm going to get taken. It's just going to happen. If you don't pay attention to this warning, it's going to happen to you. And maybe it has happened to you. And you need to confess, Lord, I let it happen. Forgive me, and God will forgive you. You're cleansed. Move forward. So with that in mind, we are to be alert. We are to obey the command. We are to resist them in a sense that we obey the Lord. And then coming to our passage, we now need to rest in the sufficiency of Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And now our passage, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is head over all rule and authority. And then it'll keep going, but we got to stop there. Notice verse 9 begins with the term for. We don't start sentences when you talk to somebody, the first thing you say is, for, I went to the store. It's got to be connected to something, right? Now, this term here is translated for, and there are different Greek conjunctions, most that are translated for. This one actually is the Greek conjunction hati, which is usually translated because. And it's actually a better translation, I believe, because here. And you can think about this. I use this example. We use this in English this way. Take two aspirins for a headache. Oh, you don't take it to get a headache. You take it because you have a headache, right? So he says here, for, because. Don't let them take you captive through the world's wisdom rather than according to Christ, because, and here you go, in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That's the first thing. Just to cut the chase, because he's God. He's God. And he has all the wisdom you need. And he is all you need. The term dwell speaks of continually dwelling. It speaks of all the fullness of deity continually dwelling. The term fullness, pleroma, speaks of the sum total, complete measure, the full amount. This leads no speculation, Paul, by adding the word all here. All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Christ is not part God. He is completely God. In Christ dwells continually, habitually, all the fullness of deity. You can't see it clearer than this. Jesus is God. Indeed, Jesus claimed to be God. Let me share some passages. John 14:9, Jesus said to Philip, have I been to you so long that you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He's not saying I and the Father are the same. We are one in that we are God. One God, three persons. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John 10:30, Jesus, speaking in the context of the Good Shepherd, he says, I and the Father are one. One in essence, because he's God, God the Son. There is one God. We know that, but revealed in three persons. It says, the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, said, I show you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus claimed it. Okay? And the scriptures affirm it. You can follow along with me if you like. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that came into being. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. When Thomas saw Jesus after He had risen from the dead, Thomas was still wondering a little bit, and Jesus had him check him out. He said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it in my side, and be not unbelieving but believing. Then Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And the Lord Jesus didn't say, no, don't do that. Worship God alone. No, He accepted that because He is God. Hebrews chapter 1 says that through Him He made the world, and He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8, but of the Son He says, thy throne, O God. We read this earlier in Philippians chapter 4. We're to not merely look out for our own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. We're to have this attitude, Philippians 2 verse 5, this mind, this thinking, this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God. But He humbled Himself. He took on a human nature. Romans 9, 5, who is the Father, from whom the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves and for the flock, and when the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. He's God. We're looking for Titus 2:13, the blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith same as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We saw it declared earlier in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and He is the image of the invisible God. Chapter 1, 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. You see, God the Son took on human flesh. He took on a human nature along with His divine nature. He took on human flesh. And notice back in our passage, it says, in Him all the fullness of deity dwells. This is a marvelous statement. In bodily form. The term bodily form, somatikos, soma means body. It's speaking of the human body. Of a human body. God took on human flesh. And the fullness of deity dwells in Christ in bodily form. And it didn't stop. God the Son was always God from eternity past forever. And God in the point of time, according to the Father's will, God the Son took on human flesh. And He lived the perfect life. He died. He rose from it, and He was glorified and now is at the right hand of the Father. And He will and is forever the God-man. God who has a glorified human body. How about that? All the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. It's quite amazing to think about. You think, no one understands. Jesus understands. He took on human flesh. He lived the perfect life. He was sinned against to the max. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face. He understands. We saw this in Hebrews chapter 4 last week. He is a sympathetic high priest. God in human flesh. That's an amazing thought. He is now at the right hand of the Father. And He's coming back for us to bring us to where He's prepared. And then we'll come back with Him when He comes in judgment. And we'll reign with Him on earth for 1,000 years. And then we'll go with Him to a new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness dwells, where there's no more tears, sorrow, death, and Christ will be in our midst. There won't be any need for light, but the Lamb will light it up. We see that in Revelation. In Him, all the fullness of deity continually, habitually dwells in bodily form. Quite amazing. You need Jesus when you're in trouble. We need Jesus all the time. And he's a gracious God. If the Father cares about the birds, he's got feet out there. Our hairs of our head are numbered. The Lord Jesus cares about us intensely. He died for us. So don't get taken captive by people who have a slick, religious, man's wisdom covered candy for you. Don't do that. Because in him, all the fullness of deity dwells. They should be coming to you and pointing you to the one who is God. The one in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They take you up for these other ways rather than according to Christ. Don't let it happen. We need to go nowhere else. Christ is all we need, and he is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, where is Christ revealed? Is he revealed on YouTube videos where people start to die in Psalm? Where is Christ revealed? He's revealed in his word. Luke chapter 24, you could turn there. The Lord Jesus, on the day he rose from the dead, could have said, looky here, guys, don't be discouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm in your midst. But he taught them a very important lesson and taught us a very important lesson. Their eyes were shielded from understanding who he was, and he explained the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Luke chapter 24. And he said to them, verse 25, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Christ is revealed in his word. We have the mind of Christ. Where do you look to get your help in the Christian life? The Christian bookstore? That's Amazon now, right? Where do you look to get your help? Where do you go? We need to be on the alert. When we're struggling, we are vulnerable to being taken captive. Whether it's a physical struggle, relational struggle, work struggle, it's a good fight of faith, but it's a fight. And we are vulnerable to very slick, packaged religious arguments that will take you captive, rather than according to Christ, in whom all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In bodily form. God's protection for us is God. It's Christ. And he is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our faith. And he is revealed in the word alone, and his will is revealed in the word alone. Don't let false teachers take you captive. Christ is what you need. He is who you need. We see in Jeremiah chapter 15 that cursed are those who trust in mankind and make man their trust. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, and the Lord is their trust. You're blessed if you trust in the Lord. What do you trust in? We all can quote this verse, but do we really live it? We're not to lean our understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. You know, we're not to trust in anything. We're to trust in the Lord with our whole heart, right? So then, having laid the foundation, reminding us that in him all the fullness of deity dwells, he's then going to apply the truth now. He's going to start applying it to us directly, this relationship we have with the living God. And that protects us from these bad guys. He's going to put some skin on it here. We're going to see, as he applies it, that we should not let false teachers take us for a ride. One, because Jesus is God. But secondly, because in him we are fully complete. Look at verse 10. And in him, Colossians chapter 2, you have been made complete. Doesn't feel that way. Well, guess what? We don't live by feelings. We live by faith, don't we? We're to reckon the truth. And when we reckon it true, because God said it, we're set free from those feelings that can entangle us. You know, lack of faith will entangle you every second. He says here, and in him you have been made complete. This is a tremendous statement. The term have been made complete means to fill up here, to be filled up, to be topped off, filled to the brim, being complete, the sum total, complete measure, the full amount. And he says here, and this is how the Greek shares it, and you are, present tense, you are continually, habitually, in him having been made complete. Perfect tense. What does that mean? It means that you were made complete in the past, and you still are complete today. And in him, that is a continual habitual reality. And you are in him having been made complete. completeness. It's a continual habitual state of completeness in Christ, but that is only understood and lived forth when we walk by faith. When you got saved, you believed you were in need of a Savior, and Jesus was the Savior. You don't feel complete, but God is saying you are in Christ. Don't forget that. He says, and in Him you have been made complete. The implications are massive. Because of our relationship with Him, we are filled to the brim with everything we need because we have Him. You see, folks, when you believed, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and you were placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. For by one Spirit we are all placed into one body, right? 1 Corinthians 12 and Galatians chapter 3. And we were given His Spirit as a pledge to live in us forever. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6. We also see that in 2 Corinthians 5. And we know that we have everything we need in Him for life and godliness, as we'll see. It's through our relationship with Him that we attain that. He is all we need to live. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In Him, you've been made complete. Which means when you don't feel complete, you're probably not resting in Him. Turn to Him. Go to Him. He will help you. It's still a fight. It's still faith. It's an agonizing fight. It's difficult. It's strenuous. It's emotionally hard. But believe what He says and believe in Him. Believe in Jesus. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us, divine power by Jesus is God, right? Divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. It's through the relationship we have with Jesus. Now we're going to see that relationship is built up through the Word by His Spirit. He says here, who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We have His Word. And that's how we partake of Christ. We partake of His power actively in our lives. Not that we become divine, we're not, we're human. But His divine power functions in us through His promises. You believe what He says and God acts upon it. Now, we're in this right context, obviously. Believe in Jesus. We have everything we need, and we need to remember that because we are frail. But we also have a merciful and gracious high priest when we're faltering and falling apart, right? Go to Him and He'll remind you that He's everything you need. Go to Him. He'll remind you. Go to His Word. He'll graciously help you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, our takeaway is simply this. We are to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. We don't need Christ plus legalism or special knowledge or rituals or angels or holding our bodies down. Christ is all we need. You see, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and in Him we have been made complete. So then, is the fact that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, and that in Him we've been made fully complete, having everything we need for life and godliness found in Christ. Is that good enough for you? Well, if it isn't, you're going to be taken captive by somebody who comes along who tries to add in to what Christ has already done. So then, We have Christ, the living God, and in Him we have everything we need.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.